Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told.
Because righteousness governs the world.
Come take a musical journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the ghettos of Kingston. A heartbreaking overdose. A disturbing discovery. The last chance to redeem a stolen legacy.
Broadcasting live and direct from the rolling red hills on the outskirts of Kingston, Jamaica. From a magical place at the intersection of words, sound, and power. The red light is on. Your dial is set. The frequency in tune to the Rootsland podcast. Stories that are music to your ears.
In the reggae anthem Get Up Stand Up, the Wailers sing, "Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told." My friend Brian always dreamed he could make the world a better place. Maybe by me telling his story, he still can.
Consequence Podcast Network presents Rootsland Season 1 Reggae Junkie Joe.
Whole barrage of righteous people out there.
Because sometimes the story is the best song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series that's presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Always appreciate you making your way to this series. If it's your first time here, hope you enjoy what you hear enough to hit that subscribe button, too. I do 3 interviews every single week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so if this is your type of thing, hit that subscribe button. It's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists. Discover some new ones, at least know what's happening in the music world. Of course, you can find us at all the major spots like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube for the video versions. or anywhere you like to get your podcast from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm talking with Brian Bell of the band Weezer. They are back with their, I don't know, 30,000th record. It's called OK Human. I think it's their 15th record, OK Human. And it's really interesting. Brian and I get into a ton on this interview here. This is an orchestral record that plays seamless. Every track blends into the other ones. In that, it's still only 30 minutes long. So I want to talk to him about creating a thematic piece like this. It's also basically an analog record. No electric instruments, really. At least no electric guitar, which is what Brian Bell plays. That's really interesting to me. So we're going to talk about his role on this record, playing acoustic guitar. He says there was a lot of organ that he put in there as well. And we do get into the importance of human voices, analog instruments, as I was saying. Brian's going to talk about using some really vintage instruments at that, that used to be the Rolling Stones and stuff that Pink Floyd would use on their records as well. We'll talk about, you know, juggling so many records. Like, they're talking, with this record included, about 6 albums being released in this near future right here. So Brian tells about Rivers' penchant for dropping the next project on them while they're in the middle of another. He also gets into Rivers' personal lyrics on this record. And then we'll talk about some of those other albums as well. Simultaneously recording the Van Weezer album that was supposed to come out last year. It's now pushed, I think, to this upcoming summer. I mean, though touring right now, he does want to play a filmed streaming performance of OK Human, which would be kind of amazing given what this record kind of is and all the players that's involved. And then we'll also talk about the upcoming 4-part seasonal series, album series. They've already mentioned that one is going to be inspired by Elliott Smith, another Franz Ferdinand. So I want to hear about the other ones. And he tells us another one is going to be, and get this, classic Weezer fans, an album inspired by classic Weezer. Trying to get back to that Say It Ain't So and Islands in the Sun sound. It's also the 20th anniversary, speaking of Island in the Sun, of the Green album. So I want to hear about if there's a chance that we're going to get some album celebration performances from that as well. It does sound possible. Let's get into this. Kyle Meredith with Weezer.
Hi. I'm doing pretty well. Slept very soundly, I guess, after the Super Bowl. And I just wanted a good game. I wanted a close game. And it wasn't that at all. And it's always kind of a bittersweet time because this is the last game of the year, and either team I didn't really care about because I live in Los Angeles now and I root for the Rams, and they weren't in it, obviously. And all that aside, you still wanted like maybe a really competitive, you wanted to see like a comeback or something.
Sure.
And it wasn't that, and kind of went to bed early and then slept. Yeah. Whatever. Now football season's over. Life goes on.
I read the commentators saying it. It's going to be one for the ages. This game is going to be one for the ages.
Oh yeah, they way overhyped that stuff. I mean, what's one for the ages is the fact that the 2020 season happened at all.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So be thankful for that. But this isn't about football, is it? Okay, because we are in the South, and I know how much we love football in the South because I am from the South.
That's right.
I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my dad now lives in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is the third largest city in Kentucky. I found out from you or before we started.
It's true. Yeah. Third largest city, home of Cage the Elephant, which I know you know the guys from Cage and everything. And yeah.
Yeah, I do know Cage, Matt Schultz. And what's odd is also I grew up in the third largest city of Tennessee. So maybe that's what my dad is drawn to, whatever the third largest city of any state is.
Wherever he goes, it's got to be the third largest city of that
state.
Can't
be the second or the fourth.
No, it's very specific. I appreciate that.
Yeah, very specific.
The commitment. Congratulations, man. OK Human.
Oh, yeah. OK Human.
What a cool little record. I say little record. What a cool, massive record that you guys have done.
It's little in the amount of like minutes it plays. I mean,
it's true.
But, you know, I don't know about your attention span. Mine isn't really one side of a record. And why I like vinyl so much is that I believe that the side A, side B of an actual, you know, LP is the perfect amount of time to like let music play and just kind of become one with music. And you can focus for that long, you know, when you sit and meditate or something like that, you know, do you go over 20 minutes? I don't, I certainly don't. You know, it's like, let me take you on this journey for like 15 minutes. That's all I'm asking, all we're asking. And just enjoy it, you know, and then like let whatever images and feelings come to you. And then if you want to go up, stand up and flip the side. Don't like go to your phone and press, you know, something. I don't know. I don't listen to music as I don't really like listening to streamed music that much. I do as like educational purposes, trying to like, okay, I want to hear this song. It's super convenient to pull it up and listen to it. Okay. But there's something about either the sonic quality or even the, you know, the visceralness of putting a record on yourself and dropping the needle and going to sit down and, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of interesting how that works. But yeah, but OK Human, I believe is best heard on our vinyl record, but you know, I'll hear it however you want to hear it. And it's, oh, I don't know, barely over 30 minutes, but kind of our, I feel some of our best work is only over 30 minutes. I think same with Pinkerton. Just like, we never really liked too much extraneous fluff in our music in general. Like, okay, you said it, how many times does this need to repeat? You know, like, something needs to happen. It needs to grow. And, you know, like, even if it's a repetitive chord progression, which most all songs are, something needs to make new needs to happen or be subtracted, delineation, something to keep you interested, or a drop out here. And then, you know, it's just building a nice composition that way.
Well, I think that's all the more impressive. I mean, 30 minutes and there's so much happening in this record. It's a seamless album. I mean, if you do happen to hear it on streaming, it really never stops.
I just haven't heard it on streaming, but I'm sure it's fantastic.
Well, that's what I wonder when you guys write this, because it does play as one piece, almost one circular piece. And let me start for this. Yeah. You know, the concept is birthed. And as we've heard in other interviews, it sort of sounds like it comes from your producer who kind of pushes Rivers to say, well, why don't we try this? But at what point does this get presented to you all? Like, okay, this is going to be an orchestral record concept album?
I'm trying to think. I remember the moment. This is going to sound pretty douchey, but we were on a private jet flying somewhere, and Rivers asked me, or like, it always happens while we're working on something else, that there's something else being worked on with him. It seems like that all of a sudden his focus shifts from the record we were working on to something new, which it probably has already shifted to something, which I know it has. And I'm like, okay, I just wrap my head, getting my head wrapped around what we're doing now. There's something new coming down the pipeline. And he told me about the orchestral stuff. And he said he wasn't sure how he saw, because he was not foreseeing electric guitars, how I foresaw my role in this. And he kind of, I guess, wanted me to know that I might not be needed. And internally, I'm thinking, fuck that. And so that made me work really hard. Maybe it was some sort of psychological that therapists do on you, reverse psychology. I work hard on every record, try to come up with at least, you know, three or four ideas for each song for the producer or whomever to like pick whatever you think works the best. I don't even care. I just want to give you as many ideas as I can come up with. For this album, I was more in communication with our producer on what to play. And he's like, how do you feel about playing acoustic guitar? I'm going to go, well, I love acoustic guitar. I think I play that better than electric guitar. And also the organ, which I started off playing keyboards anyway. And I think I approached the guitar somewhat pianistically and with just the capabilities of voice leading and how things lay out on a keyboard. I do think of the guitar that way too, which is not very guitaristic. And I can come up with, I think, some pretty interesting things because of that. And so when he said organ, I'm like, well, I know that I'm pretty good at keys, at least competent, but the organ is being an organ player is a whole different monster. It's like you have to control a volume pedal and a vibrato knob and all these, like, there's so many like levers that control and like, you know, the control, the overtones and the sounds and stuff. And I really don't own a real organ. I own one of those, like, I know, you know, digital things. And I play like an acoustic piano at home, but luckily our producer somehow is, well, not somehow, he's very talented and gifted, and he got connected with this like magical studio out in the valley that the owner's name is total mystery, which he won't tell us, because he has all this gear. It's literally a museum. It has, you know, we use the Mellotron from She's in Rainbows, from the Stones. There'd be like Keith Richards, a Telecaster there. There'd be wow. The most amazing J200 Gibson. I don't know whose it was. It could have been Cat Stevens for all I know. For some reason, everything had some sort of, like, we mixed on the console that they did Dark Side of the Moon, which was at EMI Studios. And there's a picture of Paul McCartney, like back in, I don't know what period of the Beatles, but with that exact console. So who this guy is that collected all this stuff, I don't know, but the gear was incredible. And you'll see it in our album, In Sleeve. You'll see a picture of the place. And the point though is we had a really good Hammond B3 organ with a Leslie speaker. And so I came up with a lot of, I thought, cool parts, and was like a little bit nervous, like, okay, now it's time for organ parts. And we did recorded in a very assembly line fashion, where I was given, okay, you almost clinical, like you have, you know, Thursday between 10 and 2 is your time, or something like that. So I would come in almost like a doctor. I'm trying to show you, it's probably not plugged in. Basically I have this, it's like electronic sheet music thing. And so I would come up with ideas and just like a surgeon come in, like, because I had such limited time. Here's my idea. Let's get this one. Check. And then after the fact, you know, in the mixing process, a lot of it was taking stuff away, including the strings. There was a lot of strings that we didn't use, because otherwise it sounded too pompous. And that was my main fear of an orchestral album, was making it sound stodgy, you know. Mm-hmm. But back to the organ. So when I played the parts, I knew, like, musically the notes work great and whatever. And the sounds, he was able to get the sounds that he liked. And like, great, you're a producer, you get the sounds you want. That's a great sound. It works. And I thought it worked incredibly well with the strings as far as sonically goes. But as far as being able to control the volume pedals and swells and all that, we basically had to have my two hands playing it, Jake's brother on the ground, controlling the swells as it would happen, and then Jake would decide sometimes where he thought vibrato should go. So we had, like, I guess we had six hands working on the dang thing. And then, yeah, I mean, in a way that's a collaborative effort, you know. And he loved the parts, and then he would decide, or we both decided in the mix process, what should go where. And I said, I would like to be able to perform this live if we have to. So there's just so much. I played a guitar over all of it. I played organ over all of it. We are going to have to stream it back a little bit. And how would I approach this live? I would have to be able to switch instruments. So there'd be sections where it's just acoustic guitar, sections where it's just organ. It still kind of would be very hard to live switch in time, but that was the thought process on what got chosen when. And sometimes we actually would put two acoustic guitar parts on top of each other, because they worked like a nice, like, mosaic fabric against everything. And they were mixed quite low, and so was the organ, and so were the background vocals. The background vocals, then I would, like, sing ideas, like, here's my ideas. And then I didn't realize how good he was at vocal harmonies. And then he would come back and three-part almost everything I did. And then he wanted the other guys to sing it, meaning Scott and Pat. And I'm like, I've always wanted to get Pat to sing a lot more. And I knew it would be difficult to do and to get him to do it. And you know, a lot of work was required to like hear these parts. So I asked for him to send me separate vocals of all of them. And then I notated them all out. And I know that those guys can read music well enough to like hear it and then see how it goes against a bar line or whatever. And so that was kind of me helping push I was just really believed in this album, and I wanted to push to get it done, because what else are we gonna do right now? You know, like, why not go full throttle into this? And he did great. I was really impressed with the way Pat sang, and I know Scott was always could sing well, and how these parts blended together. And I love the sound of our human, like the human element. Like, it's three voices, even though they're low in the mix, and I believe they're mixed in mono, and so they're definitely not featured, but they're just the right amount of touch. Remember humans' voices, you know? When you think about it, there really was no electric instruments other than an organ that was plugged into an outlet, and then obviously microphones and all that kind of stuff. But that we kind of use the theme of a human sounding record, and that's how we thought about it. Now, I could tell by Rivers' lyrics that there were themes of technology and whatnot, and you know, sometimes it'd be lyrics where I would like raise a flag, like, what do we have to have that? And sometimes it was get look at, and sometimes they stayed. I know, like the song about him's dirty hair or something, I was like, do we have to have this like so personal? But you know, some of those things that are, if you take it away, yeah, they might turn some people off or whatever, or some people may love it, but it's that's Rivers, you know, like he's kind of can be polarizing to people, especially in the critics, when you see write-ups about some of they would latch on to certain lyrics, and you know, it's, you know, great, but who else is going to think of that? You know, that's kind of the beauty of Rivers. Like, we have to like, okay, I'll tell you Rivers what I think people might respond negatively to, but you know, you can sit with it if you can come up with something else, or leave it. I'm just letting you know, because sometimes I feel like he's very stream of consciousness, and when he writes and he just lets it flow out, and is like, you know, that's great, but it's also time some like it helps to edit a little bit. And I would, you know, me and my producer would have lengthy conversations about one word sometimes. Sometimes in the demo, he'll say something that came up stream of consciousness, like, oh my God, that's genius. But it gets changed in some way. And then you have to fight to like get it back to the original word. And then that's, you know, that's how much we care. And there was a moment in Numbers where I'm singing backgrounds and there's a little breakdown, and I'm like, that was kind of like this quarter note pulse. And I'm like, well, obviously I'm going to say some numbers, but I realized that the only way that numbers that I came up with are going to make the record, make the cut, so to speak, is if they meant something. And so I did something, it's something called a Fibonacci sequence, where you add I know he's always saying zero ones and stuff like binary numbers. So I started 0 1, and then what's 0 plus 1? 1. 0 1 1. What's 1 plus 1? 2. And then what's 2 plus 1? 3. And then what's 2 plus 3? 5. Like, it went all the way, I think, to 13. Like, I don't know if anyone's going to notice what kind of math nerd is going to notice that, but I had to like present it that way. I'm like, you understand, I'm saying the Fibonacci code here, right? So it's just like a little Easter egg, and it's like, oh, that's cool. And there was also a moment too where in La Brea Tar Pits at the end, where Pat answers his phone, and I was kind of appalled by that at first. Like, you know, like, what's he doing? Like, because that's before all the instruments got put on it. And like, that's answering the phone during a take. That's so Pat, you know, like sometimes he gets distracted and he plays great, but then like loses interest towards the end of the song. And this time he answers his phone and he puts it back, you know, and you can see, hear him talking. And then he puts it back, picks up his sticks again, but it almost worked. And we made the music work in that moment, or at least mixed it that way, where it almost sounds like this was meant to happen. And it was such, because of the theme of the record being organic and humanized, there's like such a human and technology. There's such a human moment where the phone is controlling us, even why we're working and recording. If a phone goes off or like a robot must answer phone, it might seem like, wow, that was almost like it was written in a script or something to do that. But that just happened. And one of those things that we kept because of that. And when I thought of it that way, and I was starting, it was like, yeah, that's kind of actually kind of cool, isn't it? But there were moments where like, that's, you know, that shouldn't go there. But it was a lot, really fun record to make. We had the time. We were chipping away at it before the pandemic started. So we had, I think the basic tracks were done already. So then it was just a matter of, let's just do this, you know, nose to the grindstone. And as we were finishing Van Weezer too, because now that one is in the can as well.
Right. And juggling those two right there. I mean, and it sounds like even as you were saying, River Zoe is moving on to the next concept on top of that. Like that's, how do you keep track of all that for one? Like, you know, because there's so much, it seems like Weezer, especially in the last decade, there's so much coming out. How much of it is overlapping at once? Because this record is so specific in its sounding, you know, and yeah. I didn't even compliment it half the songs on here. I bring up a song like Dead Roses and a few of the things like that. So it's like straight up out of the 60s, you know, and you're talking about that, yeah. That analog gear, but you know, with Van Weezer, I mean, were these overlapping at the same time?
Yeah, they kind of were. They were overlapping. I mean, we knew it does help to have, we had different producers for one. So they both had their own sonic take on how it should go. But we knew that, you know, what Van Weezer was a stadium rock album. The only reason we didn't release it is because of the pandemic, which we were slated to tour with, co-headline with Fall Out Boy and Green Day and something called the Hella Mega Tour, like Europe and like Australia, the US, and we're super stoked about it. And then of course this happened, and then we postponed it. Hopefully we'll get to play some of these dates in 2021. And we, you know, really hope we do. And we really hope we can still release this album because it's such a stadium rock sound and flashy guitars and that kind of stuff. Flashy lead guitar work, which I don't really play. I play more of the like the fabric kind of things and the figures and secondary like counter melodies and things like that. Against usually I use River's vocals as like kind of like what's called like a cantus firmus, which is can never be like altered, and you work against that. And that's kind of my secret of how I get the parts to work. I don't try to flash them, you know, and be look at me instead, you know, that kind of thing. But we knew what Van Weezer was, we also wanted a tour to support the album. So that's mm-hmm. why it didn't come out, because the tour didn't happen. And I know a lot of probably other fans are like, why are they putting OK Human out now? Well, that's because if you notice, there's a pandemic and it's kind of pointless to put out a rock album like that without a tour to support it. This kind of record, you know, we hope maybe to do some sort of filmed streaming performance of it with the orchestra and all that. That is a goal of ours. Whether that happens or not is lots to be determined. But it's one of those things. I think that might be the best presentation of that album is something like that. I'm talking about OK Human. Mm-hmm. That would be great. I'm ready for it. Just let me know when. Just give me about 10 days to prepare. Yeah. So did I answer the question?
Yeah, you did. You did. Okay. In fact, you did. You're just talking about all of these records, and I want to quickly bring up, you know, because we're already talking about the records that come after these too.
I know, we have a problem with that, but I think we're just so excited by by you know, creativity and making music what, you know, we realize that, you know, in any artistic endeavor, we work, was it a movie or whatever, you've had the idea for years before it people actually are hearing it for the first time or seeing it for the first time. We've lived with it for a long time, working on it, like the ins and outs of all of it, every note, every word, etc. So it's not that we're ready to move on. I'm very excited that it's out now for people to hear. But it doesn't mean that we should stop working and creating. And you know, what's most important are ideas. And I knew that there is no new stuff on the way. I have a couple of like key like phrases of the sound of two different records. And now I hear there'll be four of them.
I like that you're hearing that when we're hearing that is what it sounds
well,
like.
Well, I might hear it before. I've heard it, you know, before you.
Sure. But
you have a point. Yeah. It's not like, I'm not hearing, you know, I'm not there inside his head, like, as it happens. So, even when he's ready to like bring, us into it, he'll let us know. And then I can kind of decide on like what I need to do to prepare for that. You know, I have an idea on how to prepare for certain conceptual moods or whatever that we want to portray and or a feeling that we want to portray in this in some of these, you know, future records. So I'm actually going to try a couple things on getting my actual internals to feel that before I present something, like, you know, otherwise it's all academic.
What's interesting, because I know a couple of those records that we're talking about, this seasonal concept that's been put out there. Yeah. I think one was like Elliott Smith inspired. One was Franz Ferdinand inspired. That's at least what's been told. Do you know what the other two are? If there are specific bands like that, has that been laid out?
Well, like Weezer that? Is one of them.
That's good. That's real good.
And I ain't joking.
What does that mean then for Weezer inspired Weezer album?
A Weezer inspired Weezer album. We sometimes refer to, you know, Island in the Sun, you know, as a sound, as a thing, you know. And one of my favorite quotes from Pat is like, you, when Rivers got all into like co-writing and stuff, and then like the I don't know when that was, Ratitude period or whatever. Pat goes, I want him to co-write with the guy that wrote Say It Ain't So. you know, we know, you know, a lot of the some of those periods that they, you know, they're like, let's have a pop experiment, let's see, you know, it's not trying to stay relevant so much as just like staying interested, you know. Mm-hmm. Island in the Sun, if we could like figure out what that was, it's just, you know, sometimes those things just happen. And you know, it was beautifully produced by Rick Ocasek, and who's no longer with us. We know what vibe that, you know, musically that evoked, and also lyrically it was a little bit of a departure, as far as it wasn't so personal, it was more a universal feeling. Mm-hmm. So we do think about those things, and it was like, it was our biggest hit in France. And when I think about that, it was like, oh, a different language, because it's so simple. It has a sound and it's a feeling anyone can relate to. You know, sometimes personal things, you know, why they can be very interesting and create a picture, may not be so universally felt.
Well, that's I'll wrap up with this. Actually, I know you got to go. The Green Album that you're you know, kind of hitting on right there.
Yeah,
that's the one that's celebrating the big round anniversary this year. It does turn 20. You all have done the anniversary shows for Pinkerton Blue. Do you? I mean, with so much new music coming out, would you even see yourself fitting in something like that for the Green
Album? I know that I will try to push for that, because that's one of my, that's one of, I think, kind of a very underrated album as an album, even though it had, you know, one of our biggest songs on it, and also Hash Pipe. To me, the record is its own work of art. The way it's all very similarly, other than those two songs, songs like Knock Down Drag Out and Smile and Glory. I think it's Glory's Day, or there's a song called Girl. There's a song called Girlfriend, there's just a way. There's a sound to it, and we definitely hashed that out in a rehearsal space. and then hashed it out again with Rick in pre-production, and then knocked it out in the studio. And it was just had a kind of a glorious, energetic sound of the time, you know, of that period of for us. And I don't know if we've ever played some of those songs live. And I just think the songs would really lend themselves well live. And just, I don't think that record's 30 minutes is no more than 30 minutes. That, you know, to do a, you know, like we did the Blue Pinkerton shows, why not the Green Album too? So I'm sure it's already been talked about, maybe in our management office or something. And, you know, just getting everyone on board, I guess, like, you know, even though, you know, Rivers is always moving forward, you know, I got to have a place in his heart for the Green Album in general. You know, and it's also like Mikey, our bass player, for that one record, who passed away way too early. That would be a nice, like, I don't know, homage to his memory. So I would love to do it. But have we, you know, because of the pandemic, we might have to do it in a different way. Like, let's do it, record it somewhere interesting, and then let people hear it and see it and then critique it and whatever they want to do after that.
I'd love to see it. It's so fun watching what you all do and keeping up. I mean, you're one of the most interesting bands of the past 30 years. Thank you for continuing to keep it interesting out there, Brian. Congratulations on OK Human. It is a masterpiece. I think we're going to be talking about it the way we talk about Pinkerton. I kind of get that feeling. So it's a great record. Congrats.
Thanks. I love it. I appreciate that. You know, it's been telling people for at least a year, like, just wait. Like, you know, and also like fans, I keep going, oh, the Blue Pinkerton, these only ones. I'm like, oh, you, yeah. I mean, they'll find something to say negative, which is so bizarre. but they're still our fans. And, you know, you got to love them for that, I guess. It is. I like music that you hear, you can listen to 6 or 7 times and hear new things every time. That's what, that's what kind of gets me off. And I think that's what, like, why a lot of the music from the 60s and 70s stands the test of time, is because there was so much thought that went into it, and string arrangement stuff that doesn't hit you over the head, but is in there. Or, like, you know, when the Beatles were around, those recordings will always last, because there's always something new to discover. And I hope that'll be the case with OK Human.
No, it's been great talking to you, man. Hopefully we'll see you out there on that tour circuit at some point. But in the meantime, you keep throwing studio albums at us, I'm going to be just as happy.
So. All right. All we can do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
My thanks, Brian Bell. The newest Weezer record is called OK Human, although I feel like by the time I say that, there's going to be another dozen at least announced. But Van Weezer should be the next one coming up. Thanks to you for checking out this series. Before you get out, please do hit that subscribe button again. We put out so many interviews, 3 brand new interviews every single week. So keep up with all of your favorite artists by subscribing at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Acast, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you like to get your podcast from. And then check this out. There's a side B. There's a flip side to this. Head over to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, with an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all 3 of them at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along over there, and say hi when you do. I'll always hit you back. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris. The list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.